Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are joining us from. Hi, guys. I hope you are doing well and been good. Oh, my God. I think I've forgotten what I was supposed to say.
It has been too long.
It has been too long. I haven't done an intro for a while. Okay, let me start again.
You have to leave that in now.
Yeah. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, afternoon, and good evening from wherever you are joining us. And guys, I hope you are doing well. And as always, you are now listening to Homegirls Unite. Please do not listen to this podcast whilst cooking, cleaning, or doing any childcare related activities. Sit back and enjoy. Hi, guys. How are you? Hi, Kieran. How are you?
Hey, Yasin. I'm good. See, you did really well that time. I'm proud.
You got Thank it. You. Thank you. We were just talking about how we haven't recorded together in a while. Guys, I guess happy 2024. Happy new month. Happy everything. Birthday, Christmas, everything. It's been quite busy for, I think, the whole team. And then Ramadan came, and recording while you're fasting is quite hectic. But Kieran, how have you been? How's the last couple of months been? I know you've been traveling a lot and work's been busy. How's that been?
Yeah, good, thank you. I mean, it's so good to be back. I'm glad that we're doing this. I feel like it has been something that I've missed, but like you said, our schedule. So for everyone listening, our schedules have been Yasin travels, then she comes back, then I travel, then I come back, then she travels, then I travel, and then we miss each other. And that's basically been the past 3-4 months now, Yasin. We just can't sit still.
We've been doing like yo-yo everywhere, etc. So we, since we haven't spoken since like the new year, as in like on here, what has been your, if any, like your new year goals, Kieran, or maybe even new month goal since it's now April?
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be so amazing if I actually remembered what I said at the start of the new year. So when you just asked, I was like, oh my God, that was so long ago. Do I even remember what goals I set? So the short answer is no. To be fair, I don't actually set them in January, like when we start the year. I do tend to start my own sort of mental new year when spring starts, and then that's when I'll like make goals and stuff. And I think for me this year it's been a lot of trying to set the intention to undo a lot of the perfectionist behavior. So like I've just got this motto of like just going for it now and not expecting anything, because before I'd really be calculated about the things I do or apply for or put myself forward for, like all of that kind of stuff, and then really think it through and make sure things are perfect. And at the moment I'm just on this streak of like, it doesn't matter what the end result is and it doesn't matter how prepared I feel, like I'm just going to do it anyway. And so far it's been working well, so that's me trying to undo some of the eldest perfectionist tendencies. So that's really my main goal. And what about you?
That is a really good way of looking at it as well. I also don't really tend to set New Year's goals because I feel like it's always an ongoing thing for me rather than, oh, the year has started, I'm starting a new thing. But I would say one of my things that I've been working more on is actually doing things according to my needs and at my own pace, rather than what everyone else wants you to do. The whole perfectionism thing is actually, I feel like, comes under that. And when I do things, once I'm satisfied with them, being okay with that, rather than consulting everyone to ask them, oh, do you think I should do this? Do you think I should do that? So that's been something I've worked on and it's been going really well. How has the perfectionism thing been going for you?
I think the same. I really like your approach to that. And I think that's it. It's like when you feel happy with it, or just when you think you know, if something's good enough, it's like, just go for it then, instead of backtracking and double checking and triple checking. And so, yeah, I love that for you. And for me, it's been going, I think I'm trying not to think about these things too much. I feel like I can get trapped in a cycle of just repeating that thing and ruminating on the thing. So at the moment, I'm trying to just be like, this thing done, that thing, go for it, that thing. And it's helping to undo some of those patterns that I previously had. And so it's early days, because it's obviously only the start of spring and the new year. But if I can keep going on with this way of looking at things and this momentum, then hopefully I should be a perfectionist turned, recovering perfectionist turned normal person. I don't know. Who knows?
That's a good way to look at it. And good luck. I hope it goes well and you continue on the path that you want. So one thing I wanted us to talk about is how sisterhood brings us together. I think one of the things personally, especially on my eldest daughter journey, is how my friends turned sisters have really helped me in the role of learning about who I am as an eldest daughter. And we had an event for iftar, and I know Girl Dreamer also had one. So I wanted to talk about how events like that and having women around us, not just our friends, but our moms, grandparents, etc., aunties, have really helped us and shaped who we are and our growth in our roles as daughters, friends, etc. How's your experience been with that?
Oh, I love that. I love that. And I love that we had both our events like literally on the same weekend.
Right.
I know, it wasn't even planned, like we just happened to both pick the same thing. But oh no, it was really, really lovely. And I think you're right, spaces like that offer more opportunity to build that sense of sisterhood. And I think especially now, our world is so isolated, and like there's a loneliness epidemic and all of these things going on, that I think now more than ever, tapping into that side of like sisterhood. And like you said, our moms and aunties and the generations before us, they actually had, I believe, had a really good sense of that. Like you had to rely on community a lot more, and you had to rely on people. And so you built those bonds within your family or your family friends, especially if you were immigrants and you came to this country and you had to rely on people. And so you really built that network and that sense of community and sisterhood. Then I think it got lost along the way a bit, and now we're kind of finding our way back. Do you find that similar sort of pattern happening either in your own experience or through homegirls community? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, I don't know. I feel like I stand in two places with this. When we talk about how our parents' generation did it versus how we did it, I feel like our parents' generation was very heavy on community and, you know, being together, etc. And I feel like our generation also has that, but I think there are some times that it can feel lost. The reason being is that some of us may have grown up in communities where the needs of individuals are subjugated by the needs of communities. So some of us have fought that. I know when I was living at home, I was very much against the whole community thing. Like, you know, sometimes your parents might be like, oh, what are so-and-so going to say? What are the neighbors going to say? And then you want to reject the community because they're putting everyone else's needs ahead of your own needs. Right. But then I had the complete opposite feeling when I branched out and when I was more independent and in a position to make my own friends. And I think once I trusted those group of friends and women, I was able to let my guard down, and having that sense of community was more welcoming and open for me. Because I felt like I wasn't being judged, like these people understood me, we had mutual respect and understanding for each other. And that is, I think, what a lot of women within Homegirls and maybe even Girl Dreamer experience, is that what community might have meant in one generation, we're reshaping what it means in our generation. And not to say one is better than the other, but I think they meet different needs. And I like how a lot of us are going about that.
100%. That's such a good take, actually, Yasin. Like, you've just made me realize a lot about how community was maybe formed in the generations before us, and like based on what need at that time versus where we are in the world right now. And I think you're right, and a lot of what we create now through Homegirls, through Girl Dreamer, comes from that space of that need of like creating psychologically safe spaces. So like, based on where we are and what our needs are, we know, living here in England and being women of color, for example, there's a need to feel psychologically safe, because a lot of the time we're in spaces where we don't feel that. And so spaces created with that intention, I think they really help to foster that sense of community, because you can turn up as you, like you said, like, you're not being judged. It's not about what others think. It's not about, you know, an expectation or who you should be or what you should be. Like, you're just allowed to turn up as you, authentically you, and you're accepted into this space where you feel safe. And I think more of those is going to allow us to, like you said, you know, redefine or reimagine what community and sisterhood means to us in like this day and age.
I completely agree. And I think emphasis on the safe spaces, because a lot of the time I did not feel safe in the spaces that my parents were taking me. It wasn't like I was in any imminent danger, but a lot of the times, some aunties were not the kindest. Like, they'll comment on things like, oh, you've gained weight. Oh, you've done this.
Always the weight, even if you haven't. I swear to God. Why are they like that? Yeah, because you always used to then turn up to that. The idea of going to a party or a wedding or a family function was so daunting because of the judgment.
Exactly. And it just made you feel like, oh, what's the point in being present at this space that I'm not wanted in? So I'm glad that we are redefining what community means to us. And even though our generation is like quite, that we're always slandered for, oh, you guys only care about yourselves, da 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 da, I feel like we are very much, yes, we care about ourselves, but I think also our well-being is like in the middle of that, and the well-being of the people around us is in the middle of that. How do you feel like you compare to your younger siblings? Because I feel like our younger siblings are, I don't know how to word this, but I think us as elders' daughters, I think we're quite good at finding what's wrong and trying to fix it. And I think that also contributes to how a lot of older siblings, especially daughters, are within the sector of trying to fix problems, i.e. founding organizations that solve problems that may not have had a space before. What do you think is the reason why eldest daughters or older children go out of their way to be more solution-based and focused on creating spaces? Is that to say that younger siblings don't face as many problems, or is it that they just don't realize it, or what's your opinion on it?
That's such a good question. And I think you and I talked about this, right? Like, when we came to realization of, like, we keep meeting leaders of organizations or founders of organizations who tend to be eldest daughters. And then, like we said, like, does it come from a need to fix things, or just a strength at fixing things and tackling and finding solutions? Like, what is it? And I think, coming, if I remember from the conversation we had, it was something around that placement in our like home lives, where we were really good because we had to be at like conflict resolution and peace building. We should start putting that on our CVs and stuff, you know.
I was speaking about this
the other day to someone. And I thought if we had to translate some of the skills of like eldest daughters into professional things and we had to put it on our CVs or bios or whatever, I was like, conflict resolution and peace building should be right there. Because that is something that we almost have a superpower in. And I think that also lends itself to when you become a founder and you start an organization or you lead on something. When it comes to having to deal with a space that involves lots of different people and lots of different elements, like making all that work harmoniously is something that I think comes quite naturally to us. Like we're good at reading the space, we're good at finding solutions to problems. And so I think when we see that there's a space in the world where things need fixing or solutions need to be found, I think we're kind of drawn in a bit because we know how to do that. I also do think though that being able to do that also means that, especially for elders, that we also don't know where sometimes where the line is and like how you rein that in sometimes, because then we could just spend our whole lives doing this. And to what degree, I don't feel like sometimes we know how much to give and take in that process. Like we're just like, problems, I know how to fix them, let's go. Do you think that we do have, firstly, do you think that that does like come from our home lives and the way that we were brought up and that's why we end up in that direction? But also, do you think that there's any, not danger of us being in that space, but do you think that there's something we need to be aware of if we do choose to enter that space?
Yes, yes. I think it definitely stems from the family setting, because like you said, if we were to literally break down the eldest daughter skills and role, we could literally build up like one of the strongest CVs that anyone has seen. And I think also removing it from the household, as soon as you step outside and you're in school, in the workplace, it's like people maybe see like leader written on your face and they just automatically leave you to it. I don't know if you can relate to this, but I'm thinking back to like school or college and group work assignments. I'm taking the lead. Like I'm telling everyone, like, this is when we're having a meeting, like make sure you have your first draft by then, like da 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 da. And then when like the team isn't pulling their weight, why am I the only one that's stressed when all our grades are at risk? And I'm just thinking about that now. And it's like it started at home and it pushes in every aspect of your life. And everywhere you go, you have to actually consciously tell yourself, like, mind your business. Like, no one asked you to do that, so why are you doing that? And I think you're definitely right that maybe our younger siblings, I feel like they're also in a generation where they're not trying to be somewhere long. They're trying to, like, go to work, get paid, and go home. They don't have, whereas we're very like more commitment to something, like you start something, you finish it, etc. That goes to your second question of how much are we invested in this? How safe is it for us to go into this? And I think it's really important to not have an addictive personality when you go into these kinds of roles and finding organizations, because it's very easy to forget that you are your person outside of that space. Like you are someone outside of your title, your job, etc. And it can be, you can invest so much in it that you forget to live your own life for yourself. And then that's when other things happen, like burnout. Like you start having mental health issues, you maybe not even enjoying your job as much, not sleeping well, etc. So I think being able to have boundaries on how much you do and how much you're capable of doing, and not saying, oh, let me just do one more task when it's like 6 p.m. instead of closing your laptop. You're laughing, so I'm assuming you do that.
Yes. How do you feel so seen and so called out at the same time, Yasin? How is this possible?
No, it's true, because I used to do it. I remember like one time I had like deadlines, and Kieran, I went to pray for like the morning prayer, which is like 5:30 in the morning, and I was on my laptop typing in bed. Wow. And then I was like, this is not normal. When do you actually rest? When, how can you be preaching to people, oh, self-care is amazing, da, 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 and you don't practice it yourself? How can you tell people to say no, but you don't even say no to yourself? So things like that are very important. And having someone like maybe an accountability partner to help you like stop is also important.
Yeah. Younger siblings, especially youngest, are really good at that, you know. I get my younger sister, I mean, I didn't ask her to, but if I'm doing things in a particular, like, eldest way, she'll be like, why being such an eldest? Stop being an eldest. No, that's fine. Don't do that. And, like, she'll just say it, and because I'm not aware that I'm doing it, because, like, we just, we're in that auto, like, pilot mode, right? So, like, she'll just say it, and then I'll kind of be like, oh, like, I didn't realize that that was a thing. And obviously, because they're younger, especially if they're like maybe Gen Z or a bit younger than that, like, they're really not shy to do it either. So if you just need to be told, like, younger siblings are great for that, or
yes,
friends who you're very comfortable with, who do not mind saying things to you like they are, and you don't mind taking that from them, perfect. Exactly. People for that.
That's very true. And I think sometimes you just need that reality check from your younger siblings to be like, yeah, you're doing too much. Rein it all the way in. And they humble you. And I think that's great.
They do. Like, why are you doing the most? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, you know, you don't get like special rewards for this kind of stuff, right? Like,
oh my
just
God.
Do what you got to do. And like, that's it. Like, why are you always trying to do more? And I'm like, you know what? We're working through things here. Like,
yeah,
only becoming aware of this now. Like, you know, we're a work in progress. But it's just, it's interesting because they're like, why do you do this? But I think we've got to a point where it's like, I'm not consciously choosing to do more. Or like you said, I just pop up on the laptop at 5:30 in the morning, or, you know, do this kind of like, not all the things that we do that seems really absurd to others.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, if this was a choice, I would not be doing it, but it's become an ingrained behavior that we're trying to undo. So sometimes that one act is like, we've done that after a while, and now we're like, oh God, no, I shouldn't do that. So I think it's that we're on a learning and unlearning kind of journey. But one thing I was going to say is that brings me back to the point that you made at the beginning about sisterhood and like communal spaces. I think they serve an even more important purpose around having that safety that we talked about, to be able to express these things in a way where, you know, you're not going to be judged, you're not going to be laughed at, you know, you're going to be accepted for who you are, and actually be helped through certain things. Like, it's not a formal space where you're like, I've got this problem and I hope to be thinking, you know, it's not therapy, but it is therapeutic, and it is cathartic, and there's all these things that happen in these spaces that you don't plan for. And I think for eldest, they're really, really important, because we tend, like you said, to know how to lead the space or to hold the space. So to be able to turn up and just be in a space is so, so important. And I think now, you know, the whole like wave of third spaces, are you like familiar with that?
Yeah, I think we briefly talked about it, and I remember we briefly talked about it. I think, is it like, because I think you have your home, a workplace, and then you're supposed to have a third space where
that just,
it has nothing to do with your like everyday normality.
Yes.
Is it normality or normality?
You know, I don't know. And depending on who I'm talking to, I just say either one.
English has been escaping me these days. But whichever it is, have you done a lot around third spaces? Do you have a third space? What is it?
It is so valuable. I think so. One thing I didn't realize, like through Girl Dreamer especially, is that over the years, because I didn't, again, like, and also it's why it's really important to have the right terminology for things or to understand the words, because for the longest time, like even when we were building Girl Dreamer back in the day, like this 2016 and stuff, there was what we were essentially trying to do with what people would class as like random events was actually to create third spaces. But back then we didn't know the term for it. So now
right,
it's like a lot of quote unquote random things that either funders or people would assume that we were doing. Now when I read more about it and the psychology behind it and the purpose behind it, I was like, that's exactly what I've been trying to do. So yeah, professionally, I think it's been a really core part of Girl Dreamer. Like we do a lot around professional development and there's lots of like formal skills and, you know, funding and organization building and stuff. But then the whole idea and the whole reason that we decided to build Girl Dreamer was not to just do that, but to also have a space where communities at like the center of it, and it's actually about the women of color that we support and what their actual needs are. And a lot of the needs from people who work in all different spaces and from all different backgrounds, the one thing that they have in common is this need for these third spaces. It's not always I need professional development and I don't need something solved in my home life. I need another space that I can freely, authentically and safely be me. And so, yeah, that's been a really, really big part of, I think, my professional journey and what I've been trying to do. And personally, I'm trying to think now where I go when it's not home or work. I'll get back to you on that one. In the meantime, you tell me about your experience with third spaces.
Yeah, I think, you know what? I've always, looking back, although unknowingly, I think I've always had third spaces in my life, but I just didn't know it was a third space. For example, when we were growing up, I love the outdoors. Anything outdoors, I'm there. When I was growing up, I used to go farming with my grandma. So I used to go help her water her garden. And it was outdoors, nature. And that was, I think maybe that's where my love for the outdoors probably started. And then growing up, I grew up in Yorkshire, very green area. Mm. I did activities like Duke of Edinburgh. Those were really fun for me. And then I moved to London. I live in quite a green area. Hiking is very big for me as well. So I feel like my third spaces are definitely things outside of the everyday hustle and bustle. Like just being in nature really does help me. And I really also enjoy third spaces with my friends, like going pottery painting or just learning new skills. Like today it's one of my friend's birthday and I was like, what is something that we haven't done that we could do together, or just something different out of your everyday life, I think is really important to do. And I think you're right that people sometimes they don't have like this huge thing happening to them that they need to fix in. It's just they need to get out of their bedroom and go somewhere with people that look like them, that's not going to judge them.
100%. It's that. Also, I love the fact that you're an outdoor girly. And also, the fact that you reminded me that Yorkshire's where your beginnings were makes so much sense now when I read, because your email today was like, I up lass. And I was like, I up lass? I was like, where did that come from?
You're now like, I'm like, you're right.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, I guess he's trying something new.
When I was typing it, I was like, I don't know if she's gonna get the reference, because that's how we talk up north, like, hey up, up lass. Yeah. Even like when I call back home, that's a very normal greeting.
I love that. I just forgot you were a northerner, because when I read it, I just thought, when did Londoners start saying
This is funny, because there's this account on Twitter. It's called 30 plus, right? And every day it does announcements like, oh, hi 30 plus, just so you know, this is what this abbreviation means now. So I'm seeing things that I've never seen in my life before, and that you saying, oh, is this how Londoners are talking now, is reminding me of that.
I was so confused, but now you've just said that, I thought, oh, okay, now it makes so much more sense. And also, I need to follow that.
She's not losing it.
I am behind on those things. But I love that the outdoors is where your third space is. And I think that's so nice, because wherever you go, whether you're traveling or whether you're at home, it's something that you can, that's always accessible to you. And then, like you said, you can do that on your own. You can, but then you can also choose to do it with others. And I think that's something that creates such a special energy and feeling inside of us. So if we're always at home or we're always working, it's, I think, really important now that we continue to, if we're in positions to build those spaces like our organizations are, then we should 100% do it. And because the need is definitely there. And I think we're all wanting the same thing. We just need to create the space to just go for it. And especially if you have a shared, you know, experience in life, like being an eldest. So for homegirls, like, not only are you entering a third space, you also get to do it with other people who will completely get you when you turn up. And like you said, like as color or as just specifically eldest or whatever, like those tailor, like made kind of third spaces are even more important. And I just love that we're all out here doing it.
Yeah, definitely agree. And I think it's just that unwritten explanation. You don't have to tell anyone, this is my life, like this is what I've been through. You say, oh, I come from a family that's, I'm the eldest daughter, and everyone's like, oh yeah, I get it, yeah.
Well, sit down. See? Yeah, because you know events like when you got to turn up and you got to do like icebreakers and stuff, and you think, oh my god,
yes,
what am I gonna say? And like you forget what you do, you forget your bio, you forget it all, and you think, oh god,
everything.
That's the thing, right? Third spaces are different to like events or things like that, because you don't even have to talk about like what you do or your life outside of there. There would definitely be things to talk about when you enter the space and you bond over those, and then eventually you get to that part. So it's really interesting to see what happens in those spaces. And usually the vibes just, and the energy just, it just goes in its own direction. You don't really need to curate it a lot. I feel like you don't need to do much. You just need to create the space, and then the space like creates itself.
Takes itself. Yeah.
And it's just, it's,
and I wonderful. Think another like advantage of such spaces is that people don't spend half of the time talking about these intersectional identities. It's more of, okay, this is who I am, and then we move on to talk, getting to know each other more, rather than having like to explain. We don't want people to leave spaces feeling like all they got out of it was introducing themselves and what they do, and everyone being fascinated that you have 7 siblings and you're the second mom and you pay rent, etc. So it gives people a chance to actually enjoy the space free of like judgment and too many questions about themselves.
It takes the pressure away. Like at Riftar, there was conversations going on about like travel was a big one, and it was just people learning about what were just strangers, the places that they'd been to or wanted to go to, and like their interest based on that. Like, you know, they didn't know what the person did as a job, but they did know that, you know, this is their favorite part of the world because of this, or that this person's interest or has this really unique thing about them, whether it's interest wise, and someone else goes, oh my God, and me. But again, these people don't know what they do for a job. They don't necessarily know they have, like you said, like four siblings. They don't know about, you know, certain things that we tend to just do over like small talk. They're just suddenly in these deep conversations about things about their personal beliefs or their likes or dislikes, and you just get straight to the core of these conversations. Now, I suppose the big question is, Yasin, when do homegirls and girl dreamer create their third space together? Because I think that could be something really special.
You know what? I think we should look at something this summer, you know. I know it's only around the corner, but I'm sure we've planned things in a shorter time, Kieran. We need to talk after this. Yes. Guys, Midlands ladies, London ladies, watch out for this space. Mm. Girl Dreamer and Homegirls come into Birmingham. I'm sorry, I had to.
I love it. You know what? We could just go to Yorkshire instead. We could just go up north.
You know what? Maybe we should go. We should all do Duke of Edinburgh and just.
That would be so fun. Just do something fun, but definitely, I think we've said it now, and people listening can hear us. So we can't.
Yeah, we have to. We can't. We can't continue like this. It's unacceptable, and we're definitely gonna talk and hopefully come up with something this summer. Mm. And you guys, you'll find out here first before anyone else finds out. So we'll keep you up to date with that. So yeah, thank you guys. I really enjoyed speaking with Kieran. I missed her so much, man. I missed you so much. It's like just talking on voice notes. I'm like, oh my God. You know what? I don't know if you've seen that meme that's like, friend, where have you been? My God, nobody knows. That's what I wanted to do with you.
Oh my God. You know, when we finally see each other in person, maybe that's
important. We have to do it.
Oh my God, that's another
conversation. Yeah, we have to. I cannot wait.
Oh my God, but no, I've missed
you. I've
missed you. Every time I get your messages, I'm like, oh yay, it's Yasin. And then I'm like, it's been 4 months, but it's fine. It's worth the wait.
Honestly, guys, we didn't do it intentionally. Life's just been up and down, up and down. Where's your favorite place you went to since we've been all over the place?
Oh, that's a good question. Now I'm trying to think where I've been. I want to see.
I love that. That's the thing. Like, oh, been to so many places. Yeah. Which one's your favorite?
I don't know if it's that or if my memory's really bad. It could also be that, because you know when people ask me what I've done on the weekend, I have no idea, because I cannot think that far back.
That was like 2 days ago.
I think just because it holds a special place in my heart, I think New York. I do love going to the States, and I have a very familiar feeling with New York, so it feels a bit like going home. So I love it. What about you?
Oh, that's nice. That I can't wait to go to New York. So maybe before I go, I have to ask you for tips, etc. And I'm sure they have amazing food there, so I can't wait to try. And for me, I would have to say Barbados. Oh. Because it's just so warm, they have nice beaches, everyone is nice, and no one, the place is really small as well, so you can literally drive from one end to another in an hour. So yeah, guys, highly recommend Barbados. Go there.
Yes, get some sun. We need it.
Till we have cheap flights as well, if anyone wants to go.
Great.
But yeah, thank you so much, Kieran. I really enjoyed having you back, and guys, we're gonna be here, so yeah.
Me too. Thank you, and thank you everyone. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back more regularly now.
Definitely. Hope you guys have a good rest of your week, and catch you soon. Bye for now.